Does God owe me anything? Is it my right to receive special gifts from the Lord? After all, I'm a priest, right? I gave up a lot of good things, Lord, to follow you, to serve you. I've done a great deal of good things in my day, Lord. Come on. Don't I deserve something? What about you? Have you done anything worthwhile? Is God indebted to you because of your choice to be here or to follow him today? Is our religion one of merit, strictly speaking? Do we begin life with a tally sheet that has one side good and one side bad, and we simply keep track, and at the end of the day, at the end of our life, we just look at the sheet and says, okay, this is what you did, now this is what your fate is. Is that how it works? Some religions have this sort of running tally, but Christianity is different. While we can merit in a certain sense, in the strict sense, we can't earn God's graces. We can't be good enough, we can't do enough good things, we can't give enough donations to buy our own salvation. Christianity is a religion of grace. Salvation is a free gift, it's offered to all. To whom is it offered? All people who are invited into the kingdom are invited to inherit the kingdom of God. And thus the words of Isaiah reveal God's desire to bless all people through his chosen people, the Israelites. So Isaiah says to them, the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, ministering to him, loving the name of the Lord, becoming his servants, all who keep the Sabbath free from profanation and hold to my covenant, them I will bring to my holy mountain. So being chosen by the Lord is not simply a birthright. Rather, it depends upon our actions. It depends upon our choices. If you join yourself to the Lord, love his name, become his servants, and so forth, this is how we receive that inheritance that the Lord offers to us. So these words are spoken to Israel after they have been going astray. And so Isaiah is warning them that it's not enough to be born an Israelite. We need to have more than that. Being born into the chosen people doesn't make you righteous in the sight of the Lord. It doesn't bring you salvation. So this is news to some. And now they are being told that the way that they live their lives, the choices that they make, these are how we follow the Lord. What about Jesus? What does Jesus have to say on these matters? He begins his public ministry and speaks to the Jewish people who are the chosen ones, right? They're waiting the Messiah. And we hear a lot in the Gospels about the Pharisees. They're a group of people who lived according to the law. They followed the commandments and the precepts of the law. They watched their diet. They were very strict with their diet according to what was right to eat, what was unclean and unclean. They had the customs of washing and cleaning different things, avoiding work on the Sabbath. They were attempting, in other words, to be righteous by their deeds. Now, to be clear, it's a good thing to do what the Lord asks us to do, to follow his laws. That's true. But we do not make ourselves righteous through our deeds. Rather, it's through our actions and choices that we show the Lord that we are intentionally trying to follow him, that we are serious about loving him in our life. But what happens in the Gospels? The Pharisees are so convinced of their righteousness, they're so sure of themselves, that many of them don't see the Messiah. Many of them don't see Jesus. And in fact, they condemn him to death. So who receives the message? Who receives the Messiah? In the Gospels, it's the poor. It's the sinners. It's the sick, the unclean. It's some fishermen and some tax collectors. It's the prostitutes. It's the widows. It's the foreigners, the centurion. These are the ones who respond to the message of Jesus. In the gospel today, we might be taken aback by the words of Jesus when he's speaking to the Canaanite woman. But she's undaunted. She persists and says, please, Lord, even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters. And Jesus responds to her faith. He says, oh, woman, great is your faith. What about us? What are we to make of all of this? Well, the truth is, the gift of salvation is not something we merit alone. Although we can receive merit for different things and actions, it is God first who gives a response to us. It is presumption to believe that God owes us anything. But when we come humbly to the Lord and ask for His help, when we accept this gift of salvation and we receive His love, that's how we can respond to Him. And it's a true gift. Rather than something that we earn or rather than something that we offer to the Lord will never deny us if we come to Him humbly and open to His message and if we try to follow Him. Even if our lives are a mess, He will receive us. So our needs, our sickness, our poverty, our inadequacy, these can be places where we recognize I need the Lord. This is a place where I recognize my helplessness. And the Lord offers us salvation, not begrudgingly, not condescendingly, but rather out of love. So the Canaanite woman in her need comes to Jesus with this request, and Jesus responds to her faith. So what's the good news for us? Well, it means that the message of salvation is for all. It's for all people. Not simply for those who seem to have everything put together. We are good because God loves us, not because we have done something to earn His love. It starts with God's love, His free gift of grace, and that's how we begin. So if we're struggling to live our faith in Jesus, He wants to meet us in our struggles. If we're fighting an internal battle with sin or temptation, the Lord wants to help us be free of those sins. If we have an addiction to something in our lives, the Lord wants to give us hope and to save us from ourselves. If we have tendencies towards anger, judgment, abuse, immorality, the Lord wants to break those chains that bind us. If we are living in a state that separates us from being fully united with the Lord, He wants to bring us back to Himself, to full union with Him. There's no place that God's grace cannot enter. There's no class, no race, no group of people which is exempt from the power of God. All people have the opportunity to turn to the Lord and find healing for themselves and for those who they love. It may require that we be tested, like the woman in the gospel. It may mean that we need to have our eyes open to the Lord's desires for us. But the question is not, is there a place for me? The question is, will we seek the Lord and call out to Him and accept this grace, these gifts that He gives to those who seek them?